Welcome to the Food and Farming Podcast from AHDB, keeping levy payers informed and at the heart of the conversation.
Hello and welcome to the AHDB Podcast. I'm Rebecca Wilson, a fifth generation farmer from North Yorkshire and also a podcaster. I'm a member of AHDB's AgriLeader Circle, and I've been asked to host this episode of the Food and Farming Podcast about the proposed levy increase that affects all four sectors in our industry. So, whether your interest lies in beef and lamb, pork, dairy, or cereals and oilseeds, this episode is definitely for you. It's about funding your future. Now, I know from speaking to some other farmers, whether that be in person or on social media, that not all of us are aware of what the levy does or how the AHDB helps boost our business. Not everybody has the chance to see the inner workings or the behind the scenes of the AHDB. So first, I'd just like to chat a little bit about how the levy is currently being spent before we ask about why it may need to be going up. To help discuss this, I'm joined by all four sector chairs. So hello to Colin Bateman, who looks after beef and lamb.
Hello.
For cereals and oilseeds, it's Tom Clark.
Hi.
Dairy is headed up by Lyndon Edwards.
Hello there.
And last but not least, it's pork's Mike Sheldon.
Hello, everybody.
Thank you very much for joining us. And to anybody listening, there will be a chance for you to ask the sector chairs some questions at a live stream event on Thursday, the 9th of November. This will be the culmination of the AHDB's activity around announcing the levy proposals. Take a listen to what they have to say and think up some questions for them. I'll let you know how you can get involved later in the show. So let's crack straight on into the questions. I'd really, really like to know what on earth an AHDB sector council is and what you do as chair. So who'd like to kick us off with that answer?
Well, perhaps I could go first, Rebecca. The pork sector council is made up of levy payers in the main, both producers and processors. And we also have an independent marketing expert on the council as well. And the role of the council is to identify the priorities for levy payers, identify where the biggest asks are, and design our activities to satisfy those needs. And so we then make a plan and make recommendations to the AHDB staff as to where they need to direct their energies.
And I guess from the sounds of it there, Mike, you're bringing together expertise from quite a few areas, which I guess places you in a really good position to lead that conversation on why levy changes might need to happen.
That's exactly right. We endeavour to have the whole pork sector represented on the council, both producers, processors, as I said, north, south, east, west of England, indoors, outdoors. And so we feel we are well placed, that not every voice is on the sector council. That would be impractical, but we have representation from all parts of the pork sector.
And I guess for me, coming from the farming perspective, it definitely gives a reassurance that there's people who are genuinely invested in the industry and working on our behalf.
Absolutely. Genuinely invested, working on our behalf. And one of the interesting things that happens on the sector council is I've got a pretty hard bitten pig farmer from North Yorkshire on the council. And as he has progressed through his time on the council and listens to the points of view of processors, for example, it's like a light going on and he goes, oh, OK, I get it. I get your point of view. You've listened to my point of view, but I get yours as well.
So, Mike, thank you for that. And I guess different sectors might have slightly different makeups when it comes to the council. So, Lyndon, if I start with you, how is the council made up with you and how is the levy applied?
OK, well, the dairy sector is quite different to the pork sector. It covers England, Scotland and Wales. We have only farmers on our council. So we have farmers representing every different kind of dairy farming that you'll experience in the UK. So you've got spring calving, autumn calving, all different breeds and crossbreeds, all different yield levels, You've got fully housed animals, fully grazed animals. You've got people milking through rotaries, herringbones and robots. And that is all represented within our sector council to give you a balanced opinion from the group that I've got sitting on my sector council.
And so those farmers discussing together, collaborating, how are they applying the levy gathered from the dairy sector?
So the levy gathered from the dairy sector is collected by the processors. And the processors collect it because it's the easiest and simplest and cheapest way to collect it, and then pass it across to AHDB. And then it's the sector council's job to actually decide how much of that levy is spent and in which areas it's spent.
Tom, is that the same for you in terms of farmers on your council, or is there a variety of roles?
Yeah, so the cereals and oilseed sector council represents actually even more countries than dairy. We include Northern Ireland, Scotland, Wales and England. So we actually now have farmers from each of those countries represented. About 85% of the levy collected comes direct from growers. 15% comes from the supply chain. So we also have merchants who pay a levy, feed processors, processors like flammillers and maltsters that go into the food chain as well. And oilseeds is just paid by the grower. So we have representatives from all of those sectors on our board. We do much the same. We are there to set represent the interests of the levy payers and make sure that the work that goes on is relevant and providing value to levy payers. We are going through the process of looking at each area where we currently undertake activities and making sure that it's doing that. So it's a lot of work ahead of us, but we have got a good team. There's some really really good people on that council, and I don't include myself in that. So it's a team effort.
I'm sure you wouldn't be on the podcast, Tom, if you didn't speak a bit of sense.
We'll see.
Colin, can you give us an idea of your council, but also some of the priorities for beef and lamb in terms of where the funding goes?
We're somewhat unique in that we represent England, because obviously Scotland, Wales have got their own levy boards. So on the council, we have a broad range of experience. We've got five farmers, six if you include me. We've an auctioneer, we have a halal retail specialist, we've two processors because they also pay a levy, and we've got one independent board member who is actually a farmer as well. So it's largely farmer dominated, and really it's about having that breadth of knowledge across the sort of supply, the production and supply chain. In terms of where the money is actually spent, we had the consultation last year where we asked levy payers what priorities were important to them. So they identified three very clear priorities, and you know, we probably could do a whole other podcast on them, but marketing was the biggest one, exports and reputation. So the vast bulk of the work that we do falls into those three areas. Everything feeds back into reputation, because that enables us to actually market and export. So reputation is the overriding theme. But within that, the sector council decides where the money is actually spent, and then it holds the actual people who work at HDB, the executive, accountable for actually meeting the targets that are set in those areas.
And actually, by the sounds of it, those areas, you know, particularly when it comes to things like exports and all that market research, they're not things that farmers can necessarily do on their own from their farm. And actually having the support of people working often behind the scenes who are real experts in that area is vital, vital for our industry, really.
That is the beauty of the levy system, is that everybody contributes and it is for the benefit of all. You know, there would be no point us doing work in areas where farmers could do it better themselves. So we're very clear about that. We operate in the areas where farmers can't do the work themselves. You know, if you're talking about reputation, if you're talking about going and gathering, you know, evidence around sustainability, health, all the things we use to actually market the product, if you're wanting to put that evidence in front of policymakers, if you wanted to put that evidence in front of consumers, you know, that's real specialist stuff that farmers can't do. The beauty of the AHDB as well is, because of our independence, you know, we're not beholden to specialist interest groups. So we are able to go out and gather independents, you know, bring people together in an independent way and act sort of as a ring holder, really, to bring people together and get them to work together for the benefit of all.
Tom, shall we move on to you?
The budget for cereals and all seeds is about 10 or 11 million pounds a year. We raise a levy in a pence per tonne. So if there's a big harvest, we get more money in. And if there's a smaller one and things are getting more variable as climate changes, it goes up and down. So we have to run with quite high reserves just so that we can carry on doing the work, whatever that weather brings. And farmers know that as well as anyone, that, you know, you get what you're given in terms of the harvest. That money is spent in four key areas. We do independent variety and product testing. So the recommended list of all the cereal varieties, the trials that inform that and help growers make their choices of variety, and help the supply chain too know which varieties are good for them. That's all funded by the levy, as are tests on fungicide rates and what's effective and the cost effective use of those products. We also do independent research, and we provide market intelligence. So a lot of growers receive a weekly email about what the market's doing, what the factors are that might be driving the prices up or down. And we supply data to the industry and to government as well that help them plan. We do knowledge exchange. We have a network of strategic and monitor farms throughout all the four countries of the UK, which practically take on all the lot of the research we do and turn it into what practical advice it can make. And it's farmer to farmer. You know, there is farmers join those meetings from all around and they help steer what to look at. So it's really on the ground, practical research that can make a difference. And lastly, we do some work across the supply chain. So we work and do contaminant testing and various other things that help the supply chain function smoothly, because we all need a functioning supply chain.
So, Mike, in the pork sector, where does the levy go? What's it used for?
We have three main pillars of activity. In the first place, we invest in building the position of pork in our domestic market. So it's building the reputation of pork amongst consumers that it's healthy, sustainable, nutritious, delicious, and affordable. We work in export markets to get access to as many markets as we can around the world for our pork. And that is where we sell both fifth quarter material that has a value in those countries, but which it doesn't have in the UK. But we also sell premium pork products in various markets around the world. And the third area is in building the reputation of pork within the marketplace. That is both a matter of combating misinformation, which we know there's a lot of in a lot of different media channels, but it's also about promoting the positive aspects of what we do, whether that's to do with our sustainability credentials, the health of pork, the standards of our animal health and welfare, the competence with which we look after our animals and care for our farms.
And Lyndon, in the dairy sector, where are the activities, where's the levy put towards?
Our levy is split into many areas. So if you say that we're collecting 60 pence for every 1,000 litres of milk that a farmer produces, about 20 pence will go into consumer marketing. So things like the We Balance campaign and the Eat Like a Lioness campaign, and also covering things like market intelligence. About 7 pence of that would go into defending our reputation, to promote the industry from a knowledge base so that we can defend those people who want to do down the value of British produced dairy products. About another 8 pence would be on exports. So looking to move, and we currently move 1.2 billion litres from the UK in various forms around the world. So that's that amount there. The environment and genetics, about 15 pence. So around about a quarter of our levy goes on that. Genetics is something that every farmer uses. Not very many know that AHDB actually do it. It's a very, very high return on investment for our levy paying members. And finally, about 10 pence out of the 60 would be animal health and welfare, and doing things like knowledge exchange and strategic dairy farms and farmer to farmer learning, things like that.
I guess we've touched a little bit there about why the AHDB's work is important. and where the levy comes from. But farmers are always talking about money. Financial pressures are definitely on farmers' minds a lot. And obviously that leads me into the question of the levy itself, the kind of, I guess, the pressure that some farmers feel that puts on them. Why is the levy not in line with rises and falls in the market? Now, I'm not sure if anybody feels particularly keen to answer that one, but I guess a lot of farmers and, you know, potentially, you know, from the outside without having done any work with the AHDB, it seems bizarre that it doesn't feel relevant to what's going on in the market at the moment.
I can understand why levy payers might wish that the levy would go up and down in line with their fortunes. But I would perhaps argue the opposite, actually, is when market prices are low and when farmers are perhaps struggling in the marketplace, that is when we are needed more than ever. And so it would be rather an unhappy situation, I think, if HDB's income were curtailed and our activities were reduced just at the time when our producers needed us most.
Hopefully for our listeners then, we have got a bit more of an idea about some of the work that you do, how the levy is gathered and what it's used for. I know lots of listeners will probably know how that works, but I'm not ashamed to admit that before I did any work with the HDB, I didn't really have a clue, to be quite honest. Before we get fully into the nitty gritty of why the levy increase is proposed, I'd just like a quick fire rate proposal increase. So what is it now? What's it measured against, whether that's litres, tonnes, and what you're proposing it to rise to? So if we start with Colin with beef and lamb.
Currently, the levy for a producer on lambs is 65 pence. The proposal is to put it up to 75 pence, which I think everybody can see on, you know, a carcass value, £110, it's 75p. It's not a great increase. Processors pay 20 pence per lamb. The proposal is to put that up to 25 pence. On cattle, a producer of a fat beast pays £4.05 at the current time. The proposal is to lift that to £5.06. A processor currently pays £1.35, and the proposal is to put that up to £1.69. So just to make that clear to farmers out there, the actual lamb levy will go up to 75 pence. That is added to what the slaughterer pays as well. So that's 25p. So the total levy is a pound and the farmer pays 75 pence of that. The total levy on cattle is £6.75, of which the farmer pays £5.06.
You definitely do have the most confusing one to explain, I think,
you,
Colin.
Are not kidding.
Lyndon, should we head to you and talk about your rate increase that's proposed?
Okay, very simple from the dairy sector. It's all done per litre. So we're currently on 0.06 pence per litre. And the proposal from the Dairy Sector Council is to move that up to 0.08 pence per litre.
That's great. Thanks, Lyndon. And Mike, what about you for the pork sector?
Currently, the processor pays 20 pence a pig. And the proposal is for that to rise to 24 pence a pig. The producer pays currently 85 pence a pig. The proposal is that should be increased to 102 pence a pig. So in total, the levy will arise from 105 to 126 pence a pig. And depending on how many pigs are actually slaughtered, we think that will yield approximately £1.5 million a year.
Great, thank you. And let's just finish up with cereals and oilseeds, Tom. How much would the levy increase with you?
So currently, the levy is charged to growers pence per tonne. The current payment is 46 pence a tonne, and we're proposing to put it up by 12p a tonne to 58p a tonne. Oilseed growers also pay a levy, and that is currently 75p a tonne, and we're proposing to put that up by 19 pence to 94 pence a tonne. Within cereals and oilseeds, the buyers, the processors also pay a levy in pence per tonne, and that those rates are going to go up by about roughly the same percentage.
Perfect. Thank you. So I think that's a really good summary for our listeners, just to get a feel of the rises. But now I'm going to put you under a bit of pressure. I'm going to give you a minute each just to explain, and I know this is not an easy job to do, just to explain the kind of real nitty-gritty and important points of the levy increase and I guess why it's needed in your sector and potentially what you're going to be pushing that money towards. So I'm going to get out my stopwatch here, all official. Colin, should we start with you?
How very kind of you. I mean, if effectively what we're going to do is more of what levy payers have asked us to do. So they asked us to do more marketing. At the moment, our marketing focus has been very much on attitudinal change. It's been about the domestic market. What we want to do is start working in schools, educating children, taking them through from primary right through to secondary, taking that whole life journey as a, you know, as a meat eater. We also want to start marketing to Gen Z, which will be the first time we've ever really targeted them. On exports, the focus is going to be on opening more high value markets for British meat, probably more people in markets. And by that, I mean international markets and more international promotional activities. Also getting smarter with the work we do, you know, bringing buyers over into the UK, getting them on farms. A lot of them have never been on a British farm. And when they actually come and see the product, see the production standards, you know, they're hugely impressed. And then they want to go and buy our product. So that's about a smart use of resource as well. And then we also want to do more work on promoting and defending the reputation of meat, bringing together that evidence, because that underpins our ability to actually differentiate and sell our product at a higher price. And I'm done, Chair. Yeah.
Oh, well, I make that just over a minute and 15.
No. Sorry, I'm just hungry to deliver. So I had to have a little bit more time.
You know, I'm taking this really seriously and I'm writing down all of these times, okay? I mean, there's nothing to win, but... Lyndon, should we move on to yourself next? And as I said, the stopwatch will be on.
Okay, well, it's fairly simple, really. We did the Shape the Future campaign last year and our levy payers told us what they wanted more of. So they certainly wanted more consumer marketing. They wanted more of defending our reputation and they wanted more of exports and also a little bit more on environment. Now, what we want to do is the area that we can see that we're missing at the moment is the consumer marketing, particularly to that Gen Z group, particularly 16 to 24 year olds. When they go away to college and university, they're being targeted by anti-dairy campaigns. And we really want to balance that argument to educate those people that actually it's a great product and really good for you. And also good for the environment. So that is where a big chunk of it will look to go. Also defending the reputation and some more work on exports as well to balance the equation.
Wow. Spot on, 59 seconds. Cool. That's a hard one to beat, that is. Mike, should we move on to you next? Now there's no pressure now.
I'm going to give you a few examples of where the extra levy will be spent on behalf of levy payers. In our domestic marketing, we are going to produce a new TV advert to reinforce the benefits of pork in a modern diet. And when we do that advertising, we are for the first time going to be able to amplify the message of British in when we reach all our consumers. That's going to be a big step forward with our domestic marketing. In our export work, we are going to do more shows around the world where we can take exporters with us. Exporters who wouldn't be able to reach those markets on their own can come and join us at our pavilions in the shows around the world. And we're going to do more of that. And we're also going to increase our chances of getting access to different markets around the world, with Vietnam being our prime target at the moment, a huge market for pork. In the third place, in the domain of reputation, we're going to spend a lot more money on demonstrating the credentials of the UK pork industry when it comes to the environment. That's going to be a big challenge for us and we need to invest more. And lastly, we currently spend quite a bit of money reaching teachers and pupils in the primary school arena. We're going to extend that into secondary schools and also to young people heading off to university to include pork within their diet.
122. You did cover a lot, though, I do have to say, and that's one thing that I would take from just, I mean, 3 out of 4 sectors so far, is that there is so much work to be done covering so many areas, and an interesting focus on that Gen Z side, the next generation, younger consumers, which I do think is absolutely vital. But moving on to our last sector, we've got a bit of a good mark to hit. So we'll see. Ready when you are, Tom.
So the levy rises we're proposing will raise approximately £2.9 million extra a year, taking our budget from around £10 million a year to around £13-14 million a year. That £3 million is crucial. It's going to mean that we can carry on our existing services. Otherwise, without a levy increase, we would have to cut back. But we want to do more than just stay the same. We want to do more for farmers. That's primarily going to be £1 million a year more in independent research at a time when farmers are facing greater challenges from the climate, from markets, the switch to regen, incorporating livestock into the rotation, different farming systems. That research, that £1 million a year research, is going to be driven and directed by levy payers. We want you to tell us the problems you need solving, and we will help solve them. We'll also be improving our existing services. Around £750,000 of that extra rise will be making our recommended lists and product testing much more, and RB209, the nutrient management guide, much more practical and relevant, so it can make a big difference. And we'll be expanding and making the information that's contained within our Monitor Farm Network and Strategic Farm Network much more accessible and useful for our levy payers too.
Ooh, 111.
Oh, not bad. Tom, Lyndon's the winner.
I absolutely appreciate that that is not an easy job to do. As I said, each sector is covering so many activities, and broadly some of them are the same, you know, things which cropping up again with maybe the environment, that consumer facing marketing, and also exports. So kind of echoing what I've touched on earlier, that it is reassuring to have people doing some of this work on behalf of us. But Lyndon, you were the winner. The prize you do get is getting to answer my next question.
Thank you.
Since you explained what the money would be used for so well, why couldn't we talk about AHDB making cuts? Why is increasing the levy the kind of the only option that we can pursue for the good of farmers, processors, and everybody involved in contributing to the levy?
I think the HDB have got to be fit for the future, and we're coming under more and more challenges. We certainly have organisations that want to stop farming as we know it, and we've got to defend our industry. We can't defend the industry with the same amount of money that we've currently got. Costs have gone up. The last time I had a levy rate increase in my sector was 24 years ago. I mean, it really is out of touch. And a lot of the things that we do now, like consumer marketing, defending reputation, exports, we didn't do any of that 24 years ago. So HDB has to evolve and be fit for the future for the benefit of all farmers who are going to be producing agricultural produce in 10 years' time.
I'm Rebecca Wilson, a sheep and arable farmer, and coming from a levy-paying business. Today, I'm also your host of this episode of AHDB's Food and Farming podcast, which is all about the proposed levy increase. I'm joined by the chairs of all 4 sectors covered by the AHDB. We have Mike from the pork sector, Lyndon from dairy, Tom from cereals and oilseeds, and Colin from beef and lamb. Colin, I'm going to come to you with a question about the maths of the proposed increase to the levy. What's behind it? How is it boosting the income? And I guess what we're maybe getting out of it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what most farmers don't actually see is like the levy brings an awful lot of value back to their businesses. You know, if you go and sell lambs at a market, you know, you've got all your offtakes, and then you look at, you know, you look at your final payment. And of course, one of those offtakes is the levy, but there's actually no, there's no column there showing you the, you know, what the value that levy's delivered. We've calculated that if you actually take the return on investments for every pound we spend on exports, The return on the levy is about £12. So the value of the levy back to the industry is an enormous figure. So what I want to say to, you know, to levy payers is actually, this isn't just a tax on your businesses. This is an investment in all of our futures. And we've got to start investing in the future, because if we don't, you know, we're going to be in real trouble. There's a lot of, you know, challenges. There's a lot of competitor nations out there, and they all want to have a slice of the market that that we've got. So I think it's, you know, it's a case of back ourselves, start investing in us, you know, and let's all move forward together, because nobody else is going to do it for us.
So, Tom, if this levy increase proposal is all about the future of farmers, the future of the industry, have levy payers been consulted on the increase?
So that's what we're doing now. We're putting out our proposals. This isn't a decision yet. So the sector council, made up of levy payers, has been thinking about the services we provide and how we can do more and provide more value back to those levy payers. And that's where these proposals have come from. But the levy rates themselves are set by ministers, and ministers require that when they decide whether to go with our proposals or not, they will look to see if we have consulted the industry and what the feedback has been. So that is part of this whole month and a half, actually, I think, where we're consulting with levy payers. It's why we're doing this podcast now. And you should see us, if you haven't seen us already, you should see us all over the farming press or social media. And we're having a live event to discuss that too. Levy payers do also have a big role to play in terms of votes. We had the Shape the Future vote last year, which set out what areas each of the sector councils should be focusing on. And levy payers now get to ratify or otherwise the members of the sector councils. So the levy payers are being represented in the decision-making process in the areas that we work in, and we're consulting with them now about this funding for the future proposal, and all that evidence will be put before ministers, who are actually the ones that decide.
And what happens if the government decides that the proposals aren't correct or they're at the wrong rates?
In beef and lamb, we've historically run large reserves, and after Shape the Future, in order to keep our spending power and meet the reserves targets that we've been set, we have decided to actually overspend against the amount of levy that we actually take in. So the reality of not having a levy increase will be that as soon as we hit our reserves targets, we need to stop that spending. So we will not be able to deliver as much. That would be of great concern to me as a sheep farmer, especially because of the export side of things, but also as a cattle farmer, because, you know, beef is coming under an increasing amount of environmental pressure. And it's really important that we actually, you know, gather the data and, you know, collect the evidence and actually present it to people and say, do you know what? We've actually got a really good story to tell here. I am really passionate that, you know, we do need to get this increase in the levy, because without it, I fear for the red meat sector. I think we'll be looking at a decline in industry.
Tom?
I'd like to talk about chocolate bars. The producers of those are so terrified about putting up the price that instead of putting up the price, they shrink it. You get a smaller and smaller chocolate bar, yeah? And it comes to the point where I think, if anyone remembers Toblerone, they got ridiculous. They produced a Toblerone that had such big gaps in it, it looked like a bike rack. And consumers actually said, no. Now, give us a proper Toblerone and we'll pay a proper price for it. And I think that is the argument we're trying to make here, that actually we have been cutting back in cereals and oilseeds. We've been cutting back over the last 12 years with 75% less research we've funded. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to provide services to the levy payers. So and like Colin, we've been eating into our reserves as well. If this levy increase doesn't go through, we will be running a £1.2 million deficit next year, and we will have to look seriously at losing whole chunks of service rather than just cutting back. So we need that. But as we've said before, actually at this time, we need to provide more. The levy payers need more from us, not staying the same or less. So that's why we're going for this increase.
If I can just add to that, similar voice, but I think the hard news is that we will not be able to pretend that we can carry on delivering the range of services that we currently deliver. If we are unable to get a levy increase, it will mean that the sector councils will have to make a very hard choice about which major activity to stop. And if that major activity stops, that will hurt. It will be noticed, and we will deliver less value to our levy payers as a result. So this is really serious.
I have to say, I wasn't aware of the situation with eating into reserves, and I'm sure lots of people listening won't be aware of this. And actually, you're right, it is serious and it is alarming. And the whole agricultural sector is facing challenges thrown at it from so many different places. I will just be going on to in a moment to talk about how listeners can get involved and put their questions to you. But I want to end on a question to ask: in the face of all these challenges and levy increases for some farmers and other levy payers will feel like another challenge that's thrown towards us. And obviously that doesn't always incite the best reaction from farmers, being asked to pay another bit of money. You know, it does feel like we're being pulled all the time. But in your sector, you've mentioned lots of activities. Which of these activities, which will hopefully come with the levy increase, makes you really excited about being a farmer and being in the industry? Because we hear negative press all the time, and I've been back on the farm a couple of years, and sometimes you think, should I have stayed in a different job, in a different sector? What's exciting for people like myself to be in the industry and in your specific sector? So let's start with Lyndon.
Not one thing, two things. The consumer marketing to those Gen Z group, those college and university people who we are losing to a propaganda battle with people who are anti-dairy. That's the one. The other one is the environment. Following all these world conferences, Daisy the cow is seen as the culprit for all of the global warming and the environment crisis, which is absolutely ridiculous. There is more and more new research coming out now that HDB are behind, and we are lobbying government and European panel on climate change, etc., to actually get this addressed, because the cow is not contributing half of what we're currently being told it's contributing, and actually getting that education, which will take away the ammunition from some of our detractors, will be a real pleasure.
Thank you, Lyndon. Mike, what would you say about your sector? What's exciting?
What's exciting may be at a little distance from the farm gate, actually. What's exciting for me is when we, AHDB, take exporters to a show in one part of the world, exporters who wouldn't be there if it weren't for AHDB hosting the pavilion, they can go there and we watch them doing business. We watch them taking orders and making sales of pork all around the world. And that happens because of us.
Absolutely. And I can echo that, having just visited Anuga, which is the biggest in the world when it comes to food and drink trade fairs. And I think it was inspiring to see how well represented Great Britain was through the AHDB, the exporters there, and actually how vital trade shows like that are for the domestic market back home, for, well, too many reasons to go into when I'm trying to wrap this episode up, but that's a great point. Colin, what about you?
You've just stolen my thunder. I think what's exciting for me is actually seeing that we've got a product that people worldwide want to buy. You know, when you go to a trade show, the actual product that we're producing, and you go around other countries in the world who, you know, everybody says, oh, they're huge at this and they're great at this and they're great at this. And you think, we've got a better product than these guys. And actually people want to come and buy it. I think the thing that really excites me is the people that we've got working for us. None of those things can be delivered without the people. And we've got some amazing people who work at AHDB. I helped to host an inward mission to the Lake District this year for some Japanese importers of meat. First time they've ever been to the Lake District. First time we've really taken them on farm and showed them production standards and what we do. And they were absolutely buzzing at the end of the trip. The reason that trip was so successful was because of the people that put it together. So what really excites me is the people and the product that we've got. And I should say as well, the farmers that we've got producing it, because without them, it can't happen.
Agreed. I'm glad you mentioned us, Colin.
You know I'm a farmer.
And Tom, finish off with what's looking bright in your sector.
Well, I'm a farmer, and who doesn't have those moments when you wonder why? You know, it can seem like the world is against us sometimes, and we'd be better off doing something else. But I'm still a farmer 15 years later, and it's because of that potential, you know. And in terms of what the AHDB do, I've seen farmers who've been in arable business groups or been to visit monitor farms discover something, and you can see it click, and they said, this is the answer. You know, this is what I've been looking for. One of my sector council members, David Walston, he put a thread on Twitter just the other day, and there's just one part of what we do, which is the fungicide trials. He's worked out the savings he's made from his business, pay for what he pays in levy, £5,000 a year, and he pays about £2,000 a year. You know, so the return to that is brilliant, and it's making a difference environmentally and to his business. And that, I would echo Lyndon, you know, farmers are the answer, not the problem, to a lot of these environmental issues. And if we can provide the evidence, provide the know-how, and then make the case, then we can really be the answer to a lot of these problems we're facing, and actually we'll be the heroes at the end of this story and not the villains.
Fantastic. At the start of this episode, I did mention that there'd be a chance for farmers and levy payers to get involved in asking some questions. This live stream event is in November, and it's the culmination of the AHDB's Funding Your Future campaign. Tom, could you just give us a little bit more detail about the live stream? When do people get involved, and where do they keep up to date?
So the live stream event will be held on the 9th of November, Thursday, the 9th of November. And each of us will be taking it in turn. So you won't have all of us together like you've got us here. We'll each be having our own slot. Questions, we'll be answering questions. That's basically what we're there to do. There's an email address which people can send their questions in, and we will answer as many as we can. That's info@ahdb.org.uk. But also, if you've seen any of us about around and about, you can let us know through social media or any other way that you can get in touch with us. Members of our KE teams and all the other events we're holding between now and then, submit your questions, and we will do our very best to answer them.
Thank you, Tom. As with all of these things, I'd urge anybody listening to just get involved. We can sometimes be a bit guilty of thinking that organisations aren't doing anything for us, but these events, these sessions, these live streams are the time for us to ask our questions and get our opinions across as well. Now, though, I'd like to bring this episode to a close. I'm just going to ask you very, very quickly to give a quick summary of the proposed increase, and let's keep that just to price only. Colin, we'll start with you, considering yours is the most of a mouthful.
So the proposed increase for farmers is 15 pence on a lamb, taking the levy to 75 pence, and £1.01 on a prime cattle, taking the levy to £5.06.
Thank you. Lyndon, in the dairy sector, what can farmers expect to see?
It's really simple. The levy increase we're looking for is 0.02 pence per litre, to take it from 0.06 pence per litre up to 0.08 pence per litre.
And Mike, in the pork sector?
We're proposing that the producer levy should increase from 85 pence a pig to 102 pence a pig. That's an increase of 17 pence.
Thank you. And then finally, Tom, in cereals and oilseeds.
I'm asking growers for 12p to secure their future, 12p per tonne. And at that level, it's about 0.2% of a tonne of grain. And to put that in context, farmers in Australia or New Zealand are paying five times that amount in levy, and they have the resources and the benefits of that. So why shouldn't we?
Thank you very much. And convincing and reasonable cases across all sectors, I would say. Colin Bateman, Tom Clark, Lyndon Edwards and Mike Sheldon, thank you so much for joining me today for this episode of the AHDB's podcast. Once again, for a reminder of how you can join the discussion at AHDB's live Funding Your Future event on the 9th of November, head to the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk. I'm Rebecca Wilson. Thank you so much for listening.
If you have any comments about this podcast or have ideas for future episodes, please email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. www.ahdb.uk.